good. Amen. Well, how many glad to be here tonight? Folks, as you know, the elections are coming up. These are called midterm elections, November. I've asked Mrs. Moreland to assist me in gathering information together so that this church can create a voter's guide. Now, the purpose in the voter's guide is to show you so-and-so is a baby killer. If you want to vote for a baby killer, that's your business. We will not endorse any of the candidates. Our purpose is solely to inform you, give you the information where you can be informed when you go to the polling booth. And I think that's a good idea, don't you? And if you can go into a booth and consciously push a button, and knowing that this guy here is a pro-sodomite and he's a baby killer and he's a communist and all that, and you can do that and shout and praise God, well, go right ahead. And then tell me who your God is, because I kind of have a problem understanding that. But the bottom line is, she's going to help me get this information together, and we want to give it to you, make it available. And we will not endorse any candidates. We have a governor's election coming up. We have any of the senators running? Do you know? No senators. All right. We have some representatives from the state of Tennessee. Various. All representatives or just some of them? He comes up with a presidential election. So there's another election next year. Is this a national election next year, do you know what? It just be the state of Tennessee? Okay. All right, so we have, every state has two senators. We've got 100 of them, 50 states. And then we've got 400 and something representatives that make up all the population of the country. Folks, it's important. It's important. I'm going to try to inform you tonight on a few things I think are very important. We live in a very filthy culture. How many of you agree with that? This is a filthy culture. It's rotten. It's decaying. It's a sewer. And after you've lived in it for a while, you begin to, I guess, to our own shame, we begin to kind of get used to the stink. And that's a shame, but it's the truth. After a while, I guess you kind of get numb to the filthy conversation of the wicked. I really, though, never cease to be amazed at how vile some people can be. I marvel at it. So I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 32 and verse 1 with me tonight, please. Isaiah, chapter number 32 and verse 1. Lord willing, we'll try to do a few things between now and November and get ourselves ready. And folks watching the internet, and this will be recorded and it'll go on the web, to help people. In Isaiah chapter number 32 and verse 1, it says this. It said, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Now, the only one who can fulfill that qualification is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am not all-millennial. I am not post-millennial. I'm pre-millennial. And this is one of the reasons. Because the Lord Jesus is not reigning right now. If the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning right now, then we have to spiritualize everything or just make a joke out of it, because there's no righteousness and there is no peace. You cannot have peace without righteousness. And you hear them beating the drum constantly about peace, 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 peace. There'll be no peace. There'll be no peace. As long as men are wicked, and they are, there'll be no peace. It will take a righteous king who rules with a rod of iron to force peace upon mankind. And then, of course, when we arise to his righteous kingdom, there will be peace in heaven. And it will be righteous in heaven. I can't imagine for a moment a land where there is no filth. There is no filth, no thieves, no murderers, no mugging, no thugs. No. I can't imagine a land like that, but that's where we're going. All hell will ever know is right here. And all the filth that we'll ever be, that we'll ever have to live with is right here. And it's filthy. Make no mistake about it. It's filthy. The church, so-called church, if it had to stand against Islam right now, it would be swept away like a tornado would tear up a woodshed. There is no moral stand in the church. There is no foundation. There is no substance to most of what calls itself the church in this country. Whereas on the other hand, the Muslim will kill you and kill himself in killing you. He will impose his righteous law upon you, which of course is called Sharia law. If he had the numbers, he would wipe the church from the face of the earth. Make no mistake about that. I hope you're not deluded into believing what the news media tells you. They use your freedom to take your freedom. But that's not really your enemy. Your enemy is an insidious enemy that works undercover in a covert fashion. Your enemy is constantly working to tear down the foundations of what made America great. The thing that has separated us from all the other nations on the face of the earth is the strength of the home. If you can erode the strength of the home, you will erode Western culture, because that's what we are built upon. And the Word of God builds homes. It doesn't destroy them. The Scripture builds them. I'm going to give you some organizations tonight that are set about to destroy everything that you hold precious in your soul. I'm going to pass along quickly through these groups, and I'm going to speak in general terms about them. I'm not going to get into too much specifics tonight, but they are doing their dead level best, and have been now for about 75 to 80 years, to destroy everything that you hold precious. When the television set was invented, it was a gold mine for them. It was a windfall. For they had an entrance then directly into every household in America. And for the most part, the television set is nothing in the world more than a pipeline of sewage right straight into your home. Amen. I know we're on television, and we're preaching on television, and we've reached an awful lot of people through television. Thank God for it. But you know, if you had a choice between reaching people through TV or flat out getting rid of it altogether, I think America would be a whole lot better off if it was gone completely, if it didn't exist. I really do. And of course, on top of that, I believe the country would be far better off too if the public school system did not exist. The state of New Jersey has a governor. His last name is Christie. This man is setting about to completely change the educational establishment in that state. And in so doing, he's going against the teachers' unions, because they're going to fight him tooth and toenail. But this man, this governor in the state of New Jersey, has said plainly, what matters is not the teachers, but the kids. And we are going to do whatever we need to do to restore credibility to the classroom, get rid of the teachers that won't teach and can't teach, and replace them with teachers that will, and raise the educational standards in the public school system in New Jersey. I applaud him for that. I would only add one more thing, that he brought a revival preacher in once a week and let him get up and preach to the kids. Of course, that's not going to happen. I can hear the liberals screaming, bloody murder, you know. But in any event, let's see how he does. Keep your eye on New Jersey. Watch that man. Watch that man in New Jersey. Let me tell you this tonight. The Democrat Party and the Republican Party is as corrupt as it can be. Did you want me to say that again now? The Democrat Party and the Republican Party is as corrupt as it can be. I am no more a champion tonight for the Republicans as I am for the Democrats. It wasn't that long ago that the Republican Party had to deal with some upstart people who were running for office and apparently was receiving some support, and some of the big wigs in the Republican Party up in New England got together and said to themselves, what can we do to get rid of these Christians? They're going to ruin our party. That was the attitude. There was a time, my friend, in the past when when politicians, I guess you may say, were statesmen. This is why you have the rise of the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement is holding the Republicans and Democrats to account. That's what's happening. And that's why things are getting done. And that's why the whole system is being turned on its head. And that's why the Tea Party is getting so much attention, is because they are neither Republican nor Democrat, although being conservative, physical and moral conservatives, I suppose, in a lot of ways they line up more with some Republicans, but not all of them. So when you go to the polls, keep this in mind. You go in there and see what this person believes and what their position is and what they voted and their voting record. Go in there and find out who they are, where they come from, something about their background. And this is what we're going to try to do to help you, to prepare you, to inform you. The Bible says in the book of Hosea that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Too long the church has buried its head in the sand like an ostrich and lived in its own little enclosed world and stayed religious and left politics out there while the whole wall building is crumbling around it and its kids are being lost day in and day out. The kids that grow up in the church, the world reaches in there and plucks them right out from under their nose. They lose the whole generation of kids to this world. Friend, I was as ungodly as they come, lost without God, blind as I could be, a sorry low-down dog, but I got saved. And that's what they need to do. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. Let me give you just a few tonight. There's a cheap labor crowd in this country. This cheap labor crowd will overrun your borders and bring cheap Mexican or South American labor into this country. And with them goes the globalist who will send your jobs overseas to where multinational corporations can make money. They'll do it by having cheap labor over there and sell it to you over here. This crowd that brings cheap labor into this nation, the reason the borders have not been sealed, the reason they haven't been closed off, is that reason right there. That's the reason. And when the governor of Arizona tried to do something for her state to seal off the borders because they were being overrun with criminals, men and women were being murdered in the streets, when the state of Arizona tried to do something about it, the attorney general in the United States government sued them. That shows you how sick the government in this country is. It sued them. And this is, try to give you an idea tonight, there is an overreaching force above the cheap labor crowd that's using what's going on there to bring about a one world government. This is not just something that's happening in a vacuum. There's a reason for it. There's a mind behind it. Did you know that the Mexican government right now and Mexican loyalists in this country are doing everything they can by overrunning the borders and filling this nation full of Mexicans and South Americans? They're trying their dead level best to fill it full, to be able to go to the voting block and outvote you. And do you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to take vast portions of the western United States and turn it into a sovereign Mexican nation or a Mexican country. They sure are. How many of you knew that? They're serious as they can be. It's not a joke. This is not a pipe dream. They are as serious as they can be. They say that that land was fraudulently taken from them in the 1800s. And Mexico wasn't even a nation until 1821. There was no Mexican nation. But anyway, there is an issue going on here. And the issue is the sovereignty of the United States of America. You do not realize tonight how important the United States is in this jigsaw puzzle of the New World Order. One of the reasons that the United States is so important is because there are still millions of born-again believers left in this nation. They're still here, and they pose a problem to these New World Order one-worlders. You have globalists, and they come in two fashions. What is a globalist? A globalist is somebody who wants to establish a one-world government. You have the ideologues from one side who are communistic, Marxist in nature. What's a communist? What's a Marxist? It's one who says, we want to redistribute the wealth. That's communism. That's socialism. We want to take from you and give it to the man. I had a brother sitting in this building tonight who told me a few months ago, and I'll never forget what he said. He said he was over here mowing. Well, he's not here tonight, but his family is. He said he's over here mowing, and he said he's in a projects. All right? The projects is subsidized by taxpayer dollars, your money that you work for. When you get up and go to work every day, the taxes you pay subsidizes these projects, many of them. He said as he was mowing, as he was working, he said he saw this man come outside with a fifth of liquor in his hand. He said he looked right at him. He said he took the cap off of that fifth of liquor, turned it up, drank it, guzzled it down, and took the fifth and threw it down to the ground like that right at him, right in his face, and turned around and walked back into the building. What was the message? The message was, you work, you mow, and I'll live here and I'll drink my liquor. That's the message. That's the message. That's the idea of taking from the man that works and give it to the man that won't work. There's nobody in this house tonight that would not give a hungry man something to eat, that would not help a soul stuck in the ditch. We all know what the Good Samaritan is. But my friend, you do not live. When you have a woman who is, say, 14, 13, 14 years old, and now they're women. Used to they were kids, but now at 13 they're women. Now 13 going on 30, who are saying, what do you want to do with your life? Their answer is, well, I want to have a bunch of kids and get on WIC. I'm going to have some babies and I'm going to get on WIC. That's what they live for. What kind of life is that? Who's messed up? What's wrong? There's something real bad wrong, isn't there? Something real bad. Tell me something. What's the point in the church getting up here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, having its wonderful, sweet fellowship and this and blah and blah and blah, when all around you, your whole culture is literally turned upside down on its head and going to hell? Amen. You're literally walking over corpses to get into the house of God. And yet some people wouldn't lift a finger in the church house to help somebody in a hellhole like that. That's why we're trying to get the word out on TV. That's why we've got it on radio. That's why we've got it on the internet. There's a bunch of tracks back there in the foyer, by the way. Gene Lawson told me, and he pointed to them as I came in the foyer. These are Jack Chick tracks. And these are tracks about Halloween. And I haven't read them. I might have read this Halloween track years ago, but everything about anything I've ever seen Jack Chick put out is good, well researched, well written, well illustrated, and his tracks get read. You know why they get read? Let me tell you why they read Jack Chick tracks. You know why? It's full of pictures. It's like a funny book. It's easy to read. It's interesting, and people read them. How many of you have logged onto the website and you know I've got a Jack Chick track on there? It's on the website. This is your life. This was your life right there at the bottom. All you got to do is click on that and you can go right through the whole track. Anybody can, anywhere in the world. That's the point, see? That's why the website's up like that. Because anybody, anywhere in the world, at any time of the day, can click on that website and they can read Jack Chick's track and it'll show them how to get saved. That's what the website's about. It's about reaching them. It's about getting the Word of God out. Have you noticed when you get onto the website, there's nothing on there? There's nothing on there about great men, great works, all the activities the church is doing? You notice that's not on there? You notice what's on the website? It's about Jesus. It's pointing men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. On the website, there's a picture of hell. I got this from some people out in Colorado or somewhere. I was surfing the web one time and found these graphics, and I thought, this is wonderful. So I put this on there, and it's right on the front page of the website, and it's a picture of hell. And if they click that picture, it'll take them to a message on hell. Right underneath that picture of hell, you'll find a little box that says, watch this testimony. This is true. And it's about last Wednesday night. That was a miracle, by the way. You'll never make me believe anything else. It was a miracle. Her sugar went up. And there's no way to explain that except God. I put that on the internet. You know how I put that on the internet? Because I want somebody to read, see that. Listen to it. Watch it. In this age of unbelief and doubt and skepticism and cold, cold hearts, it does us good every once in a while to see something like that. On the internet page, you'll see at the top left-hand corner, it says prayer request. And also on the right-hand side is a little girl kneeling next to the bed. I've got it in two different places so they won't miss it. I got a prayer request last night before last that was that long. And I don't know who it is. She didn't say who she was. And she says, do not post this on the internet. But she poured her heart and her soul out. And she sent me this request. And since I don't know who it is, you know, I'm not going to violate anybody's privacy. But she said, my marriage is over. My husband's in terrible shape. And boy, she poured her heart and her soul out. People are hurting, folks. I take those prayer requests off of that internet, and I lay them down, and I get down on my knees, and I pray for them. You know why? That's a ministry. That's what God called me to do. He called me to minister the Word of God and pray. And I pray for them. I think it's important, don't you? I think it's very important. Let me tell you another big hand in the fall of this nation and been directly involved in what's going on in the corruption. Do you know what it is? It's liberal Jewry. Liberal Jews. Liberal Jews. Not all Jews. Not all Jews. When I speak, I don't speak of everybody, but I'm talking about those in the background, like the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. Have you ever heard of them? How many of you ever heard of these people? Do you know where the idea of hate crime, hate speech came from? Do you know where that came from? Do you realize that by instituting hate crimes and hate speech, do you know what they're going after? They're going after your First Amendment right of freedom of speech by intimidation. They're going after your freedom of speech. When you can no longer speak freely, they're controlling you. They've taken your liberties away from you. These people, and I'm going to say this again, anybody that will take your freedom of speech away from you is anti-Christ and anti-American to the very core. That's not the America I was born into. I heard people say things that I didn't agree with, I don't like, but they've got a right to say it. That's America. America is the land of the free where you can speak. I'm not talking about slander. I'm not talking about screaming fire inside of a theater where somebody might get trampled to death, you know. I'm talking about freedom of speech. They want to take it away from us. I don't know about these dumb dog preachers, and they are dumb dogs. But they need to realize that once freedom of speech is truly gone, and they come down with a hammer and say, you're not going to preach Christ, and you're not going to preach about sodomy, and you're not going to preach about this stuff, because that's hate speech. Do they realize that once they put the clamp around their throat, the only thing they'll have left to preach is praise the president, or praise the government, or praise the dictator, or praise whoever gives them what tidbits of freedom that they may have left. They're doing it. This Southern Poverty Law Center, how many of you have ever heard of them? Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, some of you folks haven't heard of these people. These are the movers and shakers in the world of liberalism that's doing everything they can to take your freedoms away from you. Now, how are they doing it? They're doing it through liberal politicians. 2 years ago, when people put Barack Obama in as the president of this nation, they had no idea who they were putting in office. They didn't know that. They didn't know. They thought they were putting an ideologue in there who had a heart and compassion for this nation, who wanted to change things, to make it a land where people would prosper. But have they prospered since he's been in there? No, they haven't prospered. His attorney general allows Black Panthers to stand in front of a polling booth up there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If that had been skinheads standing in front of that booth up there, that polling place, that voting place, if that had been skinheads, what do you think would have happened to those skinheads? Or the KKK or anybody for that matter, who tried to intimidate someone who was going to a voting booth? Folks, That is one of the fundamental freedoms of a nation. That's the first mark of tyranny. It's the first mark of a dictator. It's when your vote doesn't count. When you go to the polling place and your vote is just a joke, it doesn't make any difference. America has not had to deal with that. Do you know what happened? Eric Holder, the Attorney General, when he was presented with his facts, shown the photographs, the videos, the facts of the case, you know what he did? He threw it out. He wouldn't prosecute it. So what does that tell you? That tells you the highest law enforcement officer in the nation, that's who he is, you know. The Attorney General is the highest law enforcement officer in the nation, has no regard for the law. That's what it tells you. Is it time for change? Is it time for change? Yeah, it's time for change. So when you have liberalism in the pulpit, we've had it for years, but the ones in the pulpit aren't the ones who pass the laws. You can understand the liberal in the pulpit. He's not the man passing laws, but the ones in Congress are. Do you know that this health care bill that they rammed down the throats of the American people, that the Speaker of the House of Representatives, do you know that the President, Vice President, Speaker of the House, the President Pro Tem of the Senate, that is the line of command. If the President gets killed, the Vice President becomes the President. If the Vice President gets killed or can't serve, the Speaker of the House becomes President. She is third in line to the office of presidency. Do you know what she said about the health care bill? This is the kind of government that you got. She said, let's go ahead and vote on this thing, and then we'll find out what's in it. I'm not misrepresenting this woman. Do we need a change? When the wicked rule, the people mourn. That's lunacy. Let's vote on this bill, and then we'll see what's in it. You mark my words, the Republicans will use that and use that and use that and use that. You will see that show up time and time and time again. Now, you say, well, I preacher, don't you think you're getting too political in here? Let me ask you a question. Is the salt of the earth for the church or for the earth? Is the light of the world for the church or for the world? If you are the light of the world, how are you projecting your light? What are you shining your light on? What are you exposing? What are you raising your voice in dissent to? If you are the light of the world, if the church is the anchor of the soul, it is the foundation of the truth. It is the source of light and salt that preserves. Then it ought to be doing something about it, don't you think? Yes, sir, I think so. I think so. Lord willing, we're going to find out how these people stand on the issues. You say, well, you're a Republican preacher? I'm a Whig. I'm nothing. I'm an independent. That's what I am. When I go to the polls, I'm going to find out who's what, and that's who I'm going to vote for. I marvel at some of the Democrats. I saw a thing yesterday where a Democrat was supporting George Bush. He's running for office, and he was using George Bush as his standard to judge by. In other words, he said, I supported what George Bush voted for. I voted for it. He identified himself with George Bush instead of Barack Obama. You know why he did that, don't you? They feel the earth beginning to shake. They know something can change. Wouldn't it be wonderful, folks? Wouldn't it be wonderful that this year that we threw a bunch of garbage out and put some few people in there that had some decency and morality, that really cared for the nation, that loved America? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had somebody in there who really cared? Wouldn't it be wonderful if this fellow up there, and I don't know this man, but the governor of New Jersey, like the governor of Arizona, wouldn't it be something if you began to watch this man up there in New Jersey and you said to yourself, man, that guy's got some courage. He's got some ethics. He's got some morality. He cares for New Jersey. Well, if he cares for New Jersey, maybe he'll care for the United States. You see, a governor is an executive. He governs. The fellow that's in the White House right now never governed anything. When Sarah Palin was running for office, she was not qualified. She wasn't smart enough. Although she had been the governor of Alaska for a long time, and Alaska had prospered greatly underneath her. That's fact. And Barack Obama had never governed anything. And after 2 years of his governing of this nation, look what's happening. They're leaving him like rats leaving a ship. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. They're leaving him. So if I get up here and I preach the gospel, preach the truth to you, that truth ought to not only affect you, it ought to go out the door, shouldn't it? It ought to go out and reach out to other people. So we have a government that the government of the United States. I honestly can't tell you tonight. I wish I knew, but I honestly cannot tell you tonight who's running our government. How many of you really believe Barack Obama's running this government? How many of you here tonight believe that there's somebody a little higher than him, that he's... Look at the hands going up. Well, wouldn't it be nice if we took our country back? Wouldn't it be nice? You know something, folks? How many of you in here had a father or a grandfather fight in World War II? Raise your hand. My dad did. My dad fought in Russia, in Europe. My wife's dad fought in Europe. Fact is, my wife's dad and my dad were over there at the same time in Europe. World War II vets. Korea. How many of you in here had Korea? Some of you even fought in Korea. Korean vets. Vietnam vets. See, look at the hands of Vietnam vets. And then we've got Desert Storms and the other battles and wars that we fought, Afghanistan, Iraq, and all the rest of it. You know, it's not cheap. It's American blood that flows. It's our sons and daughters that get killed. Who are we dying for? Are we dying for politicians, or are we dying for the country? Which one? Now listen, I was born an American, okay? Our freedoms and our rights are not given to us by the government. They're given to us by the Lord God. Governments come and governments go. You're an American before you're a citizen of the United States. You're an American. You're born into this country. You belong here. This is where God put you. I'm glad that I was born in a place where I could hear the Word of God preached, aren't you? I'm glad I wasn't born in Taiwan, or born in some Buddhist country or some Hindu place in darkness. Aren't you glad? Well, that's what your parents handed you. Your grandparents gave you that. They went out and they fought and they died. World War II, you realize that they rationed everything. They rationed gasoline. They rationed... Women couldn't even get stockings. Did you know that? I remember my mother telling me time and again how just what do they call them? Hose, or what, they got a name. There's a name for them that women wear, these, you know, whatever it is. They couldn't get them. I don't know what it was they made them out of or what they used, but they couldn't get them. They rationed everything. Couldn't get coffee, couldn't get gas. They had stamps. They had rationing stamps that they gave the people. And if you ran out of stamps, you didn't get anything. You couldn't get tires for your car, meat, all kinds of stuff. People that lived out in the country had it better, really, because if they were farmers and had their own chickens and so forth, they ate better than people who lived in the city. They sacrificed. That's the point. They sacrificed so that we could live the way we live now. We're a sorry lot. We are a sorry lot if we take all that's been handed to us and just take it and just really, you know, you're just taking it and you're turning your nose up at it. It costs somebody something. It costs somebody a great deal for me to be able to preach. When they left Europe, folks, they left Europe with that Bible. Right there. By the way, when they came over here, there was no NIV. There was no NASV. There wasn't even an RV. That showed up in 1869. They had this book right there. That's the book that they went out into the forest, into the fields, and blazed a trail across this nation with, that book right there. It sustained them. That was their entertainment. It was their social life. It was everything. this King James Bible. It worked pretty good too, didn't it? Well, they handed it to us. They said, here it is now. What are you going to do with it? They gave us this. God has blessed us. We're a sorry lot if we don't do something about it. We've got an opportunity this fall, in just a few weeks from now, to go do something about it. And if you're not registered to vote, and you're not, I don't know, felons can vote. I don't think we're even here. But if you're not registered to vote, go register. If you're a citizen of this country, go register. Register to vote. Register in the area that you live in. Out in here in Halls, when I voted a few months ago, it was back over here right off Broadway, I think off Crippen Road or somewhere in that area right over in there. I went over there and voted early voting. And if you can vote early voting, if they're going to have early voting, vote early voting, because you're a lot better off. You don't have to stand in line. Usually you can get in there in 5-10 minutes and be done and out. Yes, ma'am. All right, by October the 4th, you can register online to vote. What would that be, Tennessee Gov or what? Knox County Commission? Or? Okay, so you'd have to pick it up tonight, fill it out, mail it in out in the foyer. All right. But if you don't get that done, you can still register to vote. You've got time. You said by October the 4th. You can register to vote. All right. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to go register to vote. And be informed when you do, and we're going to help you be informed. Be informed the position you take and what you do, how you conduct yourself and who you vote for. You can have a clear conscience once you've been to the polling booth. Yes, sir. Oh, I remember when it was dry. Thank you, brother. Yeah. When they brought liquor into Knox County, they promised us that the money that they made off that liquor was going to take care of our school system. It was going to take care of this. It's going to take care of that. It's going to take care of this. It was the answer to all. It took care of everything. Bring liquor in, and I remember when they first opened, they called them package stores. Package stores. I remember the first package store that opened. The news media made such a big deal about it because Knox County was a dry county. Can you imagine a county as big as this one? Dry. Well, they had plenty of moonshine around. Well, they had plenty of bootleggers. No doubt about that. But the thing about it is, the government wasn't in it. All right? And I remember when I was a kid that the government used to preach about how bad it was to gamble. That gambling was an immoral thing, that it was a vice. They used that term all, you never hear that term anymore. It was a vice. Gambling enslaved people. It took the food out of the children's belly. And that's true. I mean, all these things are true. These are very true. And some people don't know how to, they can't handle themselves. They gamble every dime they got. Somehow or another, they just lose it. All right? Well, now the state's in the gambling business. Okay? So it's okay if the state does it, right? You see what I mean about the government? You see what I mean? This is the book that tells you what's right and wrong. The government will never be the authority of morality and virtue. Never. It'll be the book. Always the book. Because the book won't change. They gambled for the robe of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cast lots for his garments, the Bible said. When I was in the Holy Land, there right next to the Temple Mount, carved in stone in the floor, they've got a game, and you can see it, and I photographed it, where they cast their lots. It was a game they played. They said the Roman soldiers did this, because Jews didn't do that, they say then. They carved it in the floor. And it was right next to what's called the Fortress of Antonio. And the Fortress of Antonio is where the Roman officer in charge of Jerusalem at that time would be staying with his troops. And they'd carved it in the floor. I looked at that and I thought to myself, my, even what he had, they took from him. We've got a good Savior, folks. We've got a good Lord. Now God's given us an opportunity to do something. He has. He's given us an opportunity to do something. So let's do it. Let's do it. That's all I can say to you. I encourage you, go do it. Go do it. Go do what you know that you ought to do and do it. Go do it. I believe God will bless you for it. Amen. The Bible said, for him that knoweth to do what? And doeth it not, to him it is. Amen. Father, in thy name we pray, Jesus. Bless what's been said tonight. I said it for thee, Holy One. God, you will not support this wickedness. Lord, help us to stand for what's right. Lord, help us to do what's right. God, whether we do anything else, let's do what's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.